This is Wildlife by the Numbers, a podcast about wildlife ecology focused on the proper and robust design of studies concerned with conservation and management of fish and wildlife. We hope to entertain and enlighten young and aspiring wildlife ecologists along with seasoned professionals. Our wish is to help guide the application of science in conservation. I'm Matthew Butler, and I'm here with
Grant Harris
and Randy Stewart.
And today we're going to dive into some real-world examples about random sampling in wildlife ecology. Grant, you were telling us about a pretty interesting example earlier.
One of the things that we confronted a number of years ago was a question was to estimate the number of crabs in some of the salt marshes. To do that, they were walking a transect and count every crab that you see along this line, and from that you can estimate the number of crabs in this marsh. Where they put their transect was in a place crabs were abundant already. So they have one sample in a place abundant with crabs. And our task when we were confronted was, how do we explain why this is problematic from a sampling and abundance estimation procedure?
So just a quick disclaimer, I think it was actually three transects, two of which were just different legs of each other. One was north of a structure and one was south of a structure. So maybe in fairness, we'll call it two transects.
Okay. So two transects to count crabs, which is similar to our garden example, picking two tomato plants that we know have a lot of tomatoes on them and counting those. So in counting those plants and extrapolating to your whole yard, and in this case, we're picking two transects where we know of abundant crabs, and we're extrapolating to a salt marsh. Thank you.
Yeah. And did they do this one time, once a year?
Correct.
Yeah.
So where do we start with that one?
You go out and you sample the best spot, lots and lots of crabs, and then you extrapolate it to the whole salt marsh. We're going to have so many crabs, but the reality is we all know this as people who spend time in nature. There are places that have lots of animals and there are places that have very few animals. If you're a hunter, you know that I go looking for elk. There are some places that just don't have no elk. And that's Arkansas talk. They don't have any elk. but then there are other places, you know, there's lots of elk. So we intuitively know that, you know, there's going to be lots of variation across that landscape, right? But to then just only sample the best place and then go, well, I'm going to extrapolate this to everywhere. I think we all know, too, that's going to result in an estimate that's way, way biased high. We're going to overestimate the total number of crabs in this case. So I guess that then leads us back to the question before. Well, how do we make sure we get a reasonable estimate? Well, number one, we have a random sample. Well, maybe they did do a random sample. Maybe they didn't really intend to estimate or do the sampling at the spot that had the most crabs. It just happened to be that spot. Okay, well, clearly you got a problem. That's not representative. Well, that then leads us back to that where we ended earlier about sample size.
Right.
If we only do one spot, and man, it happens to be the best spot, we're going to way overestimate how many crabs we have. If that happens to be the worst spot, well, then we're going to way underestimate how many crabs we have. So then that leads us to that question, I guess, which is, well, how many do we sample?
Right. How do we? So now that we know it has to be random for the issues we described, how many of these samples do we need to do to make sure we're representative and encapsulate all that variation that we see in these populations?
Right. So Randy, in your experience, have you encountered similar situations where people are sampling, say, the best places for a particular species and then trying to extrapolate that to the population at large?
One of the more common examples that I've seen are folks that are surveying largemouth bass. Some biologists prefer to survey only those areas in a reservoir or stretch of river where a submergent aquatic vegetation exists. And in doing so, they're able to ensure that when they are surveying those habitats, such as vegetation, that they're collecting, the specimen of interest, which in this case is largemouth bass. Another example is a Federalista species with Yaki chub. It typically favors brush piles. There are some that would prefer and voice their concerns about surveying randomly in favor of just surveying those areas where they know that they could capture them. And thus, again, if we start thinking about representativeness, not all size classes or age classes are going to be equally susceptible and vulnerable to capture because we're only surveying those types of habitats that maybe a certain group prefers to inhabit.
Right. So in your example, not only are you maybe biased with where a species is or is not, you might be favoring a given age class or sex distribution or some other factors that we just don't know about. And so because we're only sampling a limited area based on some sort of knowledge or information or assumptions that we have, we could doing grossly underestimating some important aspects of the population.
Absolutely.
So if I'm like, you know what? I never catch these, or rarely do I catch them anywhere else, so I am only going to sample brush piles. What can I get from that sample, or what would I be learning about the whole entire population, or am I only learning something about some subset or some?
When you say brush piles, what are you referring to now?
Oh, so Randy had mentioned brush piles, so probably like old Christmas trees, other, you know, they'll throw brush out in the pond, and then, you know, fish like that structure under the water and hang out there.
So I think what you're kind of getting at, Matt, is let's say we knew where, if we knew where all of the structures were, right, we'll say that we had a dump of Christmas trees in five different locations within this pond, and we're only sampling bass at these structures, a legitimate way to do it, as I understand it, would be we could make our sample frame only areas around brush piles. So we could say, okay, what is our count of bass, or what is our density of bass at these brush piles?
Right, so now our population is only the population that occurs in brush piles.
Right.
Whole population in the pond.
Yes, not the whole pond. Now we just limit it to that specific feature that we have.
So one thing I see a lot in wildlife is road sampling. So I want to sample only along the roads because that's what's convenient. It's what can easily be done. It doesn't take as much time. It doesn't take a lot of effort to get to your sample sites, so on and so forth. So we go and do our sampling along roads, or maybe levees or fire breaks, or, you know, easily accessible things, with the whole hope that we're going to be able to draw inference. And by draw inference, I mean say something about the whole population. So the whole population being not only the animals that live along the roads, but those that live in the interior away from roads. And again, that's not random sampling. And so we don't have a sample that's representative of the whole population. That sample is only representative of the population that lives near roads. We can say something about changes in that population through time. We can say things about where that population is more abundant. We can do all kinds of stuff, just like we would if we were randomly sampling the whole population. But all those things we're saying only apply to the population that lives near roads.
Now, Matt, there's at least two things there. One of them is, even if you pick a random sample of roads to survey from, your sample frame is still the population within some given distance of the road.
And exactly.
Because the road can be a deterrent for some species, and it could be an attractant for other species.
Exactly.
Because there could be, you know, some people throw trash out, that might attract species. Salt on the roads can attract species. Some species don't like the noise, and they move away from it. And so you have to be careful that, or you have to do some tests to see, is the population near a road, the density or the abundance of populations near animals near a road the same as away from a road? And that would be a separate study. And if you can convincingly do that, then perhaps a road sampling is a viable option. But if without doing such a test, you're making an assumption that it is representative and it may not be.
Right. So another example I recently ran across, I may get some of the details wrong, but let's pretend like all these details are right, because I think it'll help us understand the issue better. And this example was an urban wildlife study where the investigators are putting up a single transect. This transect is maybe 2 kilometers wide, might have been 4 kilometers wide. I don't remember all those details. But regardless, it was one transect that went across the gradient of habitats in a city. Say that city is perched on the side of a mountain. Well, they would orient that transect such that it goes from the lowlands to the uplands in an east-west fashion. And the objective was to characterize changes in species abundance across that gradient. They also want to be able to draw inference about species abundance or species richness across the entire city. And they're also sampling other cities in a particular ecoregion. And so they also want to draw inference about species richness across cities in that ecoregion. And I guess my question for the group is, do you think they can actually achieve their objectives with a sample size of one, with one transect inside a particular city? Do you think they can achieve that at the city scale? And then do you think they can achieve that with multiple single transects across multiple cities at the ecoregion scale?
Matt, before we get into our take on this design, when you say transect, what do you mean?
I think in this case, it's not like a line transect where it's just this line drawn across the landscape that you go walk and count stuff along. It's like a polygon. It's really a rectangle that's being overlaid on the city, and inside that rectangle, say it's 14 kilometers by 2 kilometers or whatever dimensions fit over that city, inside that rectangle they're placing camera traps to monitor species richness across that gradient of habitat. Okay. From the lowlands to the uplands.
Okay.
And the objective is to take information from the locations that they're setting those camera traps and extrapolating it to the polygon, or are they trying to extrapolate it to all urban areas in the city?
From what I read, it seemed to be suggesting their area of inference, so their area of interest, was the entire city.
Do you believe that one polygon, that transect, represents all urban areas in the city?
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Are there any other transects or polygons they could have surveyed that are urban wildlife?
Oh yeah, they could have fit probably 20 of those transects across that city easily.
How did they select that one transect?
Probably what felt good.
So that is essentially inherent bias, potentially, at play?
Likely, if it's like maybe close to the university, so it makes it easy. They don't have to drive all over the city. I don't know.
So what you're intimating is that there might be different habitats even within a city that might either... They may be sampled, they may not be represented in that polygon box, depending on how that box is drawn.
All right, we know all cities have industrial areas and urban areas and suburban areas and golf courses and so on and so forth. So if that box doesn't include, say, any of the industrial areas or very little of the industrial areas, it's going to be pretty difficult to draw inference about the industrial areas of that city and how wildlife how species richness changes based on those habitats that you didn't even sample.
Right.
Or sampled at some reduced rate.
So there's an issue with where that sample box, which we're terming, what they're coining a transect, but where that sample box is placed to make sure it's capturing all the representation that you would see in a city. But there's also an issue that even within the box, making sure that your distribution of cameras is representative of what you have in that box. Because you have different habitat types, I put that in quotes, different habitat types within that box within the city. And if you have some that have no cameras, then they're just vacant. If you have some which is one camera, you still may not have a big enough sample to address it. And if you have some that are, some might be even oversampled, you have too many cameras in it, that could just, that won't hurt you. That's just an inefficient way to go.
All right. So let's say we have, it doesn't matter. We've got 100 cameras. We're going to put them inside that box. And we put them randomly across that box, across that transit. And that box didn't contain any industrial areas. Or that box didn't contain any golf courses. And now we want to say something about species richness across a city that's got 17 golf courses and 50% of it's industrial. We're going to have a really hard time saying anything about species richness for that city. Now, presumably, you're going to have some industrial, maybe a little bit of golf course in that box because it, you know, takes a pretty wide strip of that city. But if the golf courses aren't representative of all the golf courses at large across that city that's inside your box, then you're going to misrepresent what's actually occurring species richness wise on golf courses. Maybe you only got the golf courses that occur in the uplands, but none of the golf courses that occur in the lowlands.
Right.
So anyway, go ahead.
What would be your take home on this one? So we have one. So I guess the take home from a randomist standpoint, at least as I see it, is you have one transit. We plop down one polygon of a box, and it may not be representative at all.
Right.
It might be akin to putting our transect in a salt marsh where we know most of the crabs are.
Or surveying largemouth bass in areas where you only have submergent aquatic vegetation or yaki chub and woody debris piles. But the problem with all of this is that valid and accurate inferences cannot be made about the population at large.
So if you were going to try to characterize species richness in the case of the camera trapping study we were just talking about for an entire city, does it make sense to constrain that sample to a transect that's, say, 2 or 4 kilometers wide by 14 kilometers long or 16, whatever length it is, that only, say, covers 10% of that city? Is that a good way to draw inference about the entire city?
I think there are separate, different kinds of designs, but those are going to get into sample size. To me, that's going to get into different sampling issues that we should probably talk about on another topic. But from a randomness standpoint, I would say, as Randy asked earlier, is what are the potential, how many different potential transects could you pick to make sure you had representation? And I think you're kind of getting yourself in a pickle with that design, quite frankly. I think there are better designs we could pick to get at that answer that would ensure the representation of these different habitats, which, keeping it simple, would be mapping out what those habitats are and making sure you have each of them represented with a camera trap.
Oh, you're going to go down the road of stratified random sampling now? Maybe that'll be another topic.
Exactly, but this could be something along those lines.
Yeah. You know, one thing I was thinking as you were talking was, I mean, why would I constrain myself to some box across the city? Why wouldn't I just constrain myself to the boundary of that city or some buffer around the boundary of that city if I want to know something about what's going on, say, the outskirts of the city as well? And then I can get, you know, through some random sampling regime, maybe it involves stratified random sampling, which, like I said, we can talk about another time, but I can get representativeness that tells me about the entire city, not just that strip of the city that I've decided to sample in. And that's what struck me when I was reading about that sample design was, you're forcing yourself into a corner where you can't say anything about the parts of the city you didn't sample.
So to bring this kind of home from where we began, we had a garden with tomatoes in it, and now we have a city with wildlife in it. And so the garden area is akin to our city area. And the number of tomatoes in the garden that we want to know the number of is a parallel to the wildlife we want to sample in that city. And we don't know anything about, and so we're going in blind. We know our garden has high tomato areas and low tomato areas, and we already spoke about, we got to make sure we account for all that to make our sample. So in our city, We can say, look, we don't know where the high number of animals are, where the low number of animals are. But we're gonna make sure it's random to make sure that we account for all the variability in the number of wildlife we have in this city. Had we taken this transect idea and put it in our garden,
so it'd be like sampling along the path inside your garden.
Right, it'd be like sampling a path in our garden, or just picking a block of area within our garden and sampling that. Again, that block of area or that path could by happenstance just happen to occur where we have a lot of tomatoes or we have low tomatoes. Or we could say, well, we're gonna, based on our prior knowledge, we're gonna try to cut it where we have low and high tomatoes. But again, we're not really sure if it's representative.
Right.
And so that's the pickle that we're, I guess that's what kind of struck you with this example, is that here we have a study estimating species richness, which is the count of different types of species in an area. Are we getting all the habitats, and are we getting all the areas that are representing of the city? And we may not be in this block design. But had we done a random sampling approach, we definitely could.
And next we'll talk about pickles for Grant.
Thank you for listening to Wildlife by the Numbers. We hope you enjoyed it and maybe even learned something. Next time, we will discuss how many samples you need.